Everybody listening to the I'm your host Jonathan Moody, and today we have a very fun show ahead of you guys. I'll introduce my two guests that I have on today. First we got Ramaku. How are you doing, Ramaku?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Ramaku's been on the show before, I think with Paul and myself last year, so we're really excited to have her back for this season. And also coming back again for the third time is Mackenzie Kelly. How are you doing, Mackenzie?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me again.
You're very welcome. And I'm really excited to like talk to you guys about this movie. So real quick, before we say what movie it is, which you should know by the title of the movie on the thing, but I found this movie through Tubi, and I was like going through Tubi trying to find something new, and I guess it was new, like it just came out or whatever, and all of a sudden I was like, you know, I want to check this out. So I put it on there, and it was Alien Prophecy, and I thought, okay, sounds great. It's got like, and it sounded like it would have aliens and ninjas and all this stuff, and it does have ninjas, does not have aliens, as far as I know. Like, I don't remember any aliens. It got some weird ass shit. So it was really fun to kind of dive into, and we'll get right into it after we listen to some mood music. All right, and we're back. I guess let's go with, like, to begin with, overall thoughts on this movie. Like, because you both had never heard of this movie before, I take it, right?
Correct.
No.
So, okay, first, Ramaku, overall thoughts. What did you think of this movie when you watched it last night?
In the beginning of it, it was like, okay, and by the end of it, there were no thoughts, only screams, internal screams.
Okay, all right, what about you, Mackenzie? You just watched it too.
Yeah, so it's funny that you mentioned before we jumped on that I'm always the nice one and the optimistic one. I'm just gonna sum it up to, this was a hot piece of garbage. I could tear this apart for hours.
Well, you know, and I will start with saying that this was like the guy's first film. So, I mean, you know, for a first feature film, I'm glad, I'm going to just say this. I'm glad he made a movie, you know, and I'm glad he made a hot piece of garbage movie, because it is, you know, it's wonderful. My overall thought is, when I first saw it, I said, this has to be on Indie Film Cafe. That was like my overall thought, was like, this has to be on here. And normally we don't do movies that come out like this year or like last year or whatever. We don't normally do that because we like older films and we like to give, you know, shout outs to films we like either grew up watching or whatever. But I saw this and I was like, we have to talk about it. And I thought, who better to talk about it than you two, who, you know, have been both on the show before and have both given some pretty good, you know, ideas of what you guys think of different movies. You know, you guys have given great reviews before, so this will be fun. I mean, I guarantee you did not like, I guarantee you hated this more than Grizzly Rage. Is that correct, Mackenzie?
Oh, 100%. Like, this movie, like, bothered me to so many extents, but we'll get into all of that.
Okay, so the background, I guess, is that it was made, I think it was a shot in 2018 or 19, you know, that kind of area, and then it finally came out. I'm surprised they put it out, you know, and it reminds me very much of like Neil Breen and Tommy Wiseau and those directors who just don't know, have a clue what they're doing. They just kind of put things together and then hope it makes sense. And so the movie is about, I'm going to read what the IMDb says about it, which, I mean, it pretty much sums it up well enough, where it says, a Hawaiian ninja drawn into a global struggle to control an alien fuel discovered on the moon is forced to confront the consequences of his life's decisions. I guess, sort of, you know, that like that all actually happened in the movie, but like that made it sound so much more epic than it actually was, you know? So we'll begin talking about the characters a little bit. and the acting, I guess, goes in hand in hand with the characters. But there is the main guy. How did he pronounce his name? Akihito or something?
I didn't even really remember any of the names, to be honest.
The only reason I have all their names is because IMDb. So
I think it was Akihito.
I
think it was like Akihito or something like that.
Akihito. Yeah. Akihito Nomura was his name. And he was played by Brent Gerlin. And honestly, he wasn't a terrible actor. What he had to, like, the writing was so terrible, I felt. Like, some of it didn't, like, make any sense of what he was saying. But he delivered the lines as well as anyone could, I think. You know what I mean? So, no?
He tried. I appreciate how much effort he put into it.
But you still think it was pretty terrible?
He probably could have dialed it back at some points.
That's true. He did overact a little bit. What did you think about him, Mackenzie?
You know, I actually kind of feel the same as you. Like, I actually felt really bad for all of the actors because I actually thought the acting wasn't terrible. I felt like they all had talent, but the script was so god-awful. Like, there's nothing that they could have really done with it. Like, I really feel like they did the best they could with it.
Yeah.
Like, the acting was one of the few things that I was like, I'm not really bothered by the acting, but the script was just so bad. Just so bad.
Definitely.
You know, I have a thought, or more of a wonder, really. I wonder if they kind of went into it knowing it was going to be B-rated and it seemed like they were having a lot of fun with it. So it makes me think that maybe they all knew it was just going to be an absolute dumpster fire of a script. And then they decided, like, let's go for it.
Maybe. I don't know, because the story itself tried its hardest to have some kind of, I guess, political sort of agenda, you know, with the whole fuel on the moon and all this other stuff. And this, like, group of people, I guess we'll talk about that too, is there's a group of criminals who apparently have done every big, crime and have kind of stayed under the radar or something, and only like a few people know who they are, kind of thing. And it's just one of those things where it's just I felt like they had to try to make most of it make some sort of sense. Most of it didn't at all, you know. All of it didn't really make sense. There were moments I was just like scratching my head going, is this for real? Did they really do this? Like, it starts out with Akihito or whatever his name is coming, like, I guess on a deserted island and talking to himself the whole time. Did that bother you guys at all? Like, because it bothered me, like, to no end.
It did. It did bother me. But I thought it started with the other chick just talking about how she, like, yeah, how she, like, came from, like, she had the future things. And then there was that terrible, terrible stop motion thing.
Right. Well, it started with the chick talking about the prophecy, you know, or whatever, but like I didn't get any of that. Like it was so small and minute of a thing that it just sort of, you all of a sudden you don't really, you know, kind of know what's going on, you know. Like she starts off talking about this prophecy. Did you guys get any of the prophecy? Like, Mackenzie, did you understand what the prophecy was about?
Okay, I just have to throw this out there. I hope you guys are on the same page as me as to I didn't understand this movie at all. like I still don't know what's going on totally. Like I do, but it was really confusing. It, like, I just was like the whole time, like, I don't know what's going on.
Like, half of my notes do end in all caps, what is happening?
happening? It's so confusing.
Well, read some of your notes, Ramaku. I want to hear what some of your thoughts were when you were watching this.
Oh no. All right. So I started it off with, I kind of appreciate the soundtrack. It's Tarantino-like. And then the immediate next note is, never mind, I hate the soundtrack. Somewhere down there we have all caps, what is happening? And then that repeats ad nauseum, ad infinitum. At some point, it was just all the letter A. And then, let's see. Oh, Let's see. This plot is more fragile than my will to live, is one of my notes. Do you want me to continue?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I guess we can, I mean, there might be things that we go into and then we want to talk.
I have actual notes also. These are just the feelings.
The feelings that you had during the movie.
I will say, as far as acting goes, my favorite / most hated scene was when they're in the pool hall and that whole shooting scene's going down, but the guy's like, oh goodness,
oh darn it,
like for nothing.
Oh darn it.
That's where I think you might be right in that the actors kind of thought this was so bad and such a joke that they kind of played into that a little bit. Like, there's no way that guy is that bad of an actor. Like, I just don't believe it. Like,
no.
I really think he played into, like, this sucks and we're going to just kind of make it kind of funny.
Well, no, because he had some good lines that seemed normal at first, you know, right? Even though, I mean, okay, no, I take that back. They weren't normal because all the lines were like, I'm gonna cut your hair. And then the woman just looks at him.
I have a note about that.
You do.
I do have a, hang on. I have a really good note about that one. It's, let's see. It says, yes, Walter, cutting hair does in fact make you a man.
Like, it was just the strangest scene. It's like she's talking
so
about
unnecessary.
They were dancing through and the very serious mafia pool off.
Yeah,
and then they come back and her hair is not cut. So I don't understand that.
Right, and I mean, I think it was all happening at the same time. But also, like, who goes to your floor dresser at 4 a.m.? I'm pretty sure she wasn't getting her hair cut.
Yeah, maybe not.
That was such a strange scene to me.
No, you know what scene really got me? It was the random scene where all of a sudden he's waiting in a train station and then there's that long chase scene with that woman with the red hat.
Yes.
I was screaming the entire time.
You know,
the
scenes that really got me were the astronaut, I guess. I think he's an astronaut. He's a space guy or whatever. And / his wife, who apparently likes things, you know, like that's all that they kind of discuss. And so she's at dinner with them and she's like complaining that he's like this astronaut who apparently helps the Earth. So, like, you know, like she was complaining about like stuff like that just didn't make any sense. Like, why are we having this conversation? Like, why are we listening to this? Like, what does this have to do with the rest of the story? Oh wait, it does. When the like chick runs into him and hugs him. And then she's like, I'm done. You're just too much for me right now. What in the world is going on?
It took one hug to end that relationship. After all of those scenes of them being together, wow.
It was the hug that broke the camel's back, you know?
Just like a shout out to like the worst fight sequences I've ever seen in my life.
The fight sequences, I mean, looked like a 12-year-old came up with them. Like, they were just like, they would hit each other a little bit, you know, or whatever. And then they would stop, you know. Or my other favorite bit, I was telling Rimako about it earlier, was when the other girl, who is, I guess, the sister of the ninja or whatever, they see each other for the first time, you know, and they both put up their dukes to ready to go. And then they just turn around and, like, leave. And I was like, what?
Or... I had a deep appreciation again / hatred for the fact that he's like stabbed and clearly holding the sword in place the entire time. like that was so obvious. Like, okay. Like, and there was no blood anywhere. And you know, that's beef with me. That's major beef with me.
Well, you're a makeup artist.
Like, you're stabbed, but there's no blood.
You're a makeup artist.
Why
did
you get into the whole makeup? Like, he was holding the sword just like the whole time, like he's stabbed. And you're like, okay, like you couldn't have like come up with something to like make it not so obvious. But
holding it up like as if he was, yeah. I mean, it does feel like maybe a 12-year-old made this movie. I mean, you know, 12-year-olds make movies. I don't know. I don't know how old Lawrence Franzen, the director slash writer, is, you know, but I mean, this is only his first film. So, I mean, you know, it's like maybe he's hopefully learned his lesson through watching this, and hopefully he doesn't think this is like art, you know? Oh, speaking of art, did you guys love how like dramatic some of the scenes are, where they have like slow motion and the music going like over like random stuff that is like, you know, when things are all fast paced and all of a sudden it just slows down to like random scenes that make no sense whatsoever. I mean, you know, like,
I feel like they ran out of script and they just threw it in there to fill in the time.
So filler? Well, I mean, it was already an hour and 27 minutes too long, which, you know, it was an hour and 27 minutes. But yeah, it was,
I was going to say, I think that if you're really into B-rated movies and you're just like, you love this type of stuff, this is a great movie to watch with friends.
Exactly. This would be something like Mystery Science Theater 3000 would enjoy like doing or whatever, making fun of, you know?
I hated the cinematography on this. I hated it. Seriously. Like, I usually like have an appreciation for like stuff that's like out of the box and like not normal, but none of it like was cohesive. Like it was just, and it like, I didn't like this, like, yeah, like the stoppy, like slow-mo kind of breakdown. And whoever edited this, like, oh my God, it was
I just want to talk. That's all. I just want to find out where he is, where he lives, and I just want to talk.
You want to talk to him? You want to talk to the director and tell him, you know, your thoughts? Hopefully he listens to this, but like, I'm afraid a lot of people, like, you know, have fragile egos when it comes to like the directors and stuff, and they would hear this and be like, they're so wrong, this was a work of art. And no, dude, this
is, I mean, it's crazy. It's like, as much as I hated it, it balanced out the fact that I absolutely loved this movie. And I don't know why I loved it, I just did. And like, there was a point where I realized that, like, you know, part of the cinematography where it really, like, it looks super blurry. And I made that mistake the first time I picked up a video camera, because I lowered the frame rate and I bumped up the ISO. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't externally light it. They just popped it there and just...
Oh, the scene with the lighting scene. Oh, I was so upset about this. The scene where like the two women are on like the bridge talking.
Yes.
They were so dark. And I was like, where is a light box or something like to give them some kind of light? Like there was nothing. You can just tell whoever made this like was very amateur, like, and didn't know what they were doing, you know?
Yeah. There was
actually what this movie seems like to me is that they blew the entire budget on location, because that's like literally the only thing they had going for them was the location.
Exactly.
Yes, that is one of my notes. Is it looks like most of this budget went for like travel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well,
it's obvious because the locations are great. But they didn't put any money into obviously like a good lighting crew or like even a good cinematographer. I mean, not to say that the cinematography was like all bad. It like some of it was really beautiful, but like it just, and they obviously didn't spend money on a good editor either.
Well, here's the thing that I noticed. One thing very, very important that like in all of these scenes where you have these amazing scenes, that almost look like stock footage, but then like the very next like shot in the same location with the same coloring is like really off, and you know that it wouldn't be stock footage because it's still kind of terrible. But then like occasionally they have this amazing shot. When you actually cut into where the actors are doing anything, it is not in the same location. Like Shanghai is not in Shanghai when they actually film anything happening. It's just like a boardwalk on a beach somewhere. So I don't think they took the actors with them. I think they just went it and just went there and shot stock footage.
Or they just found stock footage, like a thing. If they show Shanghai, you know? Okay. Where did I mess up on it? Because
Yeah, we just started over with what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so basically I think most of this stock footage was most of the stuff was stock footage that like of all the establishing shots of places, right? So if they show, oh, this is Shanghai, that was stock footage. But then all the actors when they were together, those were those were like LA, you know, or something.
Yeah.
You know. Because it's
I think they did fly the main character out to some of these locations because like, you know, like he was in some pretty like like cool beaches and like surrounding areas, but I think that yeah, they cheated it for the rest of the cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they try to cheat it and make it look like whatever. I mean, you're right though, because there was the scene where they were, I don't know if Shanghai, but it was the place where he was walking down and they had all those temples and other stuff, and it just looked really cool. And I was like, that's a neat little like area, you know, or whatever. But it could have still been somewhere in California, you know. It just, you know what I mean? Because some places have those like little unique little places that they can kind of shoot at, but they're not supposed to shoot there because you're supposed to get like permits. And I guarantee you did not use permits. I bet he stole a lot of the scenes, shots, because I mean, if he had money for permits, I guarantee he had money to make a good movie, you know, a better movie. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. It was weird. The beach shots were pretty cool looking, but it didn't make any sense. Like, why was the chick just painting in the beach? Like, did that make any sense to you guys? Like, what the hell is going on with that?
I think that it was meant to originally be some sort of like artistic thing. And like you, McKenzie, that the lack of blood after that explosion was just like insane to me. But I think that where the plot meant for it to be was later on, she reveals she was that girl, the other person, mercenary person. But she states that she basically got the information out of him and then they jumped the bounty before this guy did. So I think it was meant to be like, I was tracking you this whole time, haha, type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you say, McKenzie?
I mean, I don't know. That scene didn't make any sense to me either. But I mean, I get it. But yeah, and I'm glad that they did end up saying like, oh yeah, because I'm glad he mentioned like, oh, you were the artist, because I was like, they're using the same actress for two different characters. Like, come on. Like, I was confused at first, and then they ended up saying, so I was like, okay, good. But yeah, at first I was like, come on, how crappy does this movie have to be that they think we're not going to notice it's the same girl from earlier?
Yeah, I thought that too, and then I was like it, him like dying, I guess, and then coming back on the islands or whatever, and then, you know, like I didn't understand any of that. Like, what is happening? Like, why does he keep, like, is this supposed to be like him going through? Because he's the same person. It's not like he becomes a different person each time he wakes up or something, you know? Like, I just
don't understand. I had a thought on that. It's far-fetched and it's just like a distant assumption that might be completely false, but what if him showing up and saying again, what if it was, maybe that was the prophecy, maybe he had seen the rest of the movie, maybe that was like what he saw happening, so like the island was his second chance.
I don't know. That's a good thought, but I have no idea because it never explains any of that. Like,
yeah, I was getting like, I got like very like Lost vibes where I was like, oh, maybe he's like been dead this whole time. And like, this was all just like, you know, like not a dream, but like, it was just.
You stuck in limbo kind of thing?
It wasn't real. Like, I don't know.
I don't know either, but like. It's a good thought. I none of us will ever know unless the director somehow explains things in commentary tracks or something, you know. I would like to listen to the director like explain this movie, you know, I hope he does do it. I will buy the DVD or Blu-ray of this movie, like, just especially if they have a commentary track, just so I can find out what's going on. We forgot to mention earlier, I guess, Wild Eye Releasing put this out, and Wild Eye Releasing put out a lot of bad movies, but that's the thing, like, they'll take basically anything. So if you made a movie, Wild Eye will take it, you know, and everything, whether or not it's good or bad, it doesn't matter, you know. I want to know if there was any other companies that actually rejected this film. It's like, nope, this is just too bad. Like, we're not going to be able to, you know, and put it on Tubi for free. I mean, anybody can go out and watch this movie right now. I actually hope they do, you know. Us doing this movie or doing this podcast, we never, ever want to tell people not to watch the movies. Even if it's terrible, go watch it because we had to, you know. So, right?
Watch it with friends, yeah. Turn it into a drinking game.
What would be a drinking game for this thing? What do you guys think would be?
Every time the frame rate drops below like 15, take a shot.
I don't know. That seems like a cinematographer, you know, like drinking game. I don't know if many people even know that.
On a cinematography note, there was one scene that drove me absolutely insane. Insane. And it was the final scene where the sister is standing with the astronaut and they're holding hands and then they're having this like conversation. He's just like, I'm an optimist. And like that whole thing, they colored all the shots of him like blue, like really blue, and the shots of her really green. And then the other shot was like perfectly balanced. It was like the main shot was terribly like framed, but well colored. And then the close-up of her and the close-up of him were it's like they were shot on completely different cameras, edited completely different ways, or like the same LUT was applied to something that had completely different settings. I don't know, but it was mind-bogglingly frustrated. I can speak English. Mind-bogglingly frustrating.
Yeah, like
I loved the line though, like optimism is my fuel.
I'm not gonna lie, there was some funny lines, you know, or whatever, that made it like, I mean, this isn't a movie like that's so boring you gotta turn it off or something. This is not boring at all. Like this is
you do want to know where it's going, like what happens. Like it does keep you like interested, I'll say.
I know, because like I'll say I've seen some movies on Tubi that I've actually turned off because I got bored by them, you know. And I actually thought this was going to be one of them when I started watching it. I was like, oh no, it's starting off with this girl talking about the prophecy and all this stuff. It seems like it's going to be that kind of like, we're trying to be a real movie, you know, or whatever. Like, and then nope, it goes a completely different direction than being a real movie.
I don't know if that was their... Definitely the drone shots had to be stock footage. There's no way.
Yeah. I'm always kind of wondering about that because like, I guess nowadays with the world of the internet, you know, because back in the day you had to actually get stock footage from like companies, you know, or whatever. Now I think stock footage is just available online. You just have to either purchase it or sometimes probably for free, you know.
Yeah, Motion Array is like $30 a month and you can get like pretty much unlimited stock footage from it.
Dude, that's like, I mean, that's awesome. But then they put them in shit movies like this. Where it didn't, I mean, it didn't really need it except for filler, I guess. But literally, they could have cut 7 minutes out of the film, you know, or whatever, and made it an hour and 20 minute movie. And that's still enough to be a like, technically, hour and 20 minutes is what generally movies, you know, B movies like this should be, you know. When you get about an hour and 30 minutes, it's like, it feels like it's going too long, you know. This movie, I guess, didn't really feel that way, but still, it was, I think it was a little too long. I mean, it could have been a little shorter, you know. That's my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the I guess quote unquote direction, you know, and stuff. Like directing wise, I think it was terrible. Like I think like on every level. Like I think even them try like I can't blame him doing the actors because I don't think he worked with the actors. I think the actors worked with themselves, you know. I think he did everything else and he did everything else poorly. What do you guys think? Either one of you.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. This movie was so all over the place and it's so hard to pinpoint. Like, I mean... Yeah, I don't know. I think they really just didn't have a good script to work with, to be honest. Like, what do you do with that? You know, it's like, and then I don't know, like you also have to consider editing too. Like maybe they got good footage and then the way that it was edited just made it seem weird. I don't know. Sometimes you just really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a direction. I mean, I think from looking at it, it seemed like they had kind of an idea in mind, but it almost seemed like they wrote the script the same day they shot it kind of thing. It seemed like like they just didn't stitch it together right. They just kind of went as they went. And that at the end of it, they stitched it all together and they're like, oh man, this is terrible. And then they decided to make it more terrible with the editing by adding those horrible, horrible filters and stop like cut to blacks that lasted like the first one that happened, I thought my streaming like was cut off. I thought my internet was failing. And I was just like, oh no, this is on purpose. Oh no.
Oh God. The first time I alone in thinking that. What was that?
Oh, I was saying she's not alone in thinking that. I thought something was wrong with my TV too.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Man on the Moon, you know, with Jim Carrey? You know, well, it was about Andy Kaufman, the guy who was like a big trickster kind of person, and he wanted to do this thing where he was doing a special, and the special was supposed to have like the vertical lines go up and down, so it looked like your TV was messing up, so you'd walk over and you'd like slap it, you know. That's what it felt like with this. Like they fucked it up so that you go, wait a minute, is something wrong? And then, oh nope, you know, maybe that's what happened. You know, he was just fucking with us the whole time. You know,
I mean, I know that like a movie can be really good, and if you don't have a good editor, it can ruin your movie. Mm-hmm. Same with like taking like not so great a footage and like editing in it in a good way to make it seem a lot better than what it is. I just think they got screwed by whoever edited this.
I'm wondering if the director edited it too. Let me find out. The editor is the director. So that totally makes sense, you know.
So to answer your question, like, I don't think the director did the best job.
Oh, and the cinematographer is the director.
Of course it is.
Oh.
He did everything.
Who is the writer separate from the director?
Nope. Still the director.
Oh my God, he wore all the hats.
He did. Every hat he could.
That explains everything.
Yeah.
If I wore all the hats, I couldn't produce something as good as that. Like if I had zero experience, it seems like, okay. Theoretical situation. Okay. He has a group of writers. He has a cinematographer. He has an editor. All he's planning on doing is directing. Right. And then at, you know, the 11th hour, the last moment, one by one, they drop like flies. They just cancel. And he's just like, oh shit, I have to do this myself. And so he looks around. He's like, he gets a bunch of stock footage. He rents a camera he has no idea how to use. And then he's like, yeah. And then he scribbles down something from the unfinished script his writers gave him. And he just goes for it. You know what? If that is the situation, more power to him. Do more. That was hilarious.
We're all laughing at the wrong thing though. Like, I mean, you know, I think he tried to be funny at times too. And even his comedy was so terrible that it was like, were we supposed to be laughing at this? Or I like, was that a joke? You know, like, I don't know. and yet again, the whole movie was a joke. So
there you talk go. About something. Can we talk about one thing?
What?
Okay. You get stabbed, right? And he's lying there. And for the first time in the entire movie, he's wearing his full ninja costume, not just, you know, the Arctic cami t-shirt he got from Walmart and some cool pants and shoes, right? For the first time, he is wearing he's got the mask on. And then he's just like, I'm revealing my mask for the first time. And like, I'm removing my mask for the first time. Here's my true face. And did anybody else just like, your face has been, and then they're like, oh, okay, he's a totally different person. But can we talk about that plot twist and how,
yeah, because like the biggest problem I had with that was they saw each other before and then they turned around and left, you know, right? They didn't fight each other, you know? And then she goes, oh my God, you're my brother. Like what? You didn't recognize him earlier?
I think it was I think it was meant to be like that, like, oh, the Hawaiian ninja legendary family passed down, woo, and here we are in a totally different space and talking about this. And like as I was sitting there, I have one note or two notes. Okay. One, it seems like he left because he was annoyed that his sister was a hippie. And two, relatable content. I too would choose assassination over banking.
Well, there you go. But also, I mean, I was so frustrated with his character because, like, he was there with his sister, right? And then he, like, I guess, did they go into some place together or something, like some other realm or whatever? Because she comes back and talks to that other guy and he's like, did you just go somewhere? Like, where did you go? You know? And she's like, I don't know where I was at or something like that. You know?
Some other place.
What? The other place or whatever?
It's some other place.
I also, just from a cinematography standpoint, I didn't like that scene because it was just like way overlit. Like, it was just, I did not like the lighting in that scene at all. I was like, I just don't get it.
That was for sure some Windows Movie Maker filters going on there.
So also we didn't even talk about the the characters that I guess the Australian chick and the Jamaican chick together, you know, or whatever. But like both of them, it felt like he was trying to make like three different movies. You know, all these different characters did not seem like they belonged in the same freaking movie. Am I crazy to think that, or did you guys get that too?
I mean, yeah, no, I got that because the Australian chick definitely had her own thing going on, and her, like, here's the big problem that I had with all of it is that every big reveal had zero buildup.
Right.
So it did really seem like three different movies.
Right, exactly. What do you think, Mackenzie?
Yeah, I this movie kept me really confused. Like, I just was not sure. I even thought, like, aside from those two characters, I was thinking, like, at first, the blonde woman who ends up being in the pool hall later, I kind of thought she was an alien at first. I was like, okay. And then it turns out she's not. And I was like, are there any aliens in this movie? Because I'm failing to find them.
Was there?
There are aliens. They're all dead on the moon.
Wait.
The fuel.
Wait. Really? Did you get that?
The fuel was fossil fuel. It was alien fossil fuel that had somehow rotted on the moon, which is impossible because things can't rot. The aliens in the beginning, the moon blew up, right? There was a crash landing on the moon, right? And it's thought to be that, like, I think to me that some aliens crashed there, they crash landed, or something living that was alien crashed there. And that rotting fossil fuel type of situation is what they were mining. That was the fuel, was their rotting body. So aliens were the fuel.
I did not get that.
Oh, yeah.
At all.
But none actually like appeared into the movie, which was weird.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, especially when it's called Alien Prophecy, which I wonder if that was always the title. You know, because Wild Eye Releasing is very well known for changing the titles to making the titles more interesting, right? Or something. An example is there was a movie called Stirring and they changed it to Mrs. Claus because Stirring didn't give you an example of what the movie was about. So I think maybe Wild Eye Releasing probably changed the title to Alien Prophecy. I would love to know what the original title was, you know, like Ninja versus something else, you know, or whatever.
Maybe.
Ninja versus Assassin. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It was crazy. It was, but Alien Prophecy didn't make really much sense. I mean, for me, you know, there was no real prophecy about this stuff or whatever. And, you know, but I mean, I give it the benefit of the doubt because it was kind of fun, you know, still terrible, but fun, you know. Let's see, the music. Can we talk about the music real quick?
Do we have to?
We do. We usually do talk about the music and everything. And this movie drove me absolutely bonkers, you know, especially with the music, you know. The music was just all over the place. There was some music that was good, some music that was terrible. But the music that was good became terrible because they overplayed it like a million times. And I was like, this is just driving me nuts. What'd you guys think?
You go first, Mackenzie.
I mean, yeah, I was trying not to pay. I mean, I don't really remember the music too much, to be honest. I do remember one song being played for a lot of the same scenes though. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like, it really didn't surprise me because the whole movie just seemed a little bit disconnected. So
what about you, Remaku?
So the first track, the very first intro track, I was like, okay, little cheesy, but you know, I kind of like this. It kind of almost reminded me of something Quentin Tarantino-esque. And then the very next song played and I was like, oh, nope. And then they just kept repeating it. It was like they hired somebody to do Foley and then the person couldn't do their job. And so they just filled it in because it was too empty without it. That's what I felt like.
Well, and you know, I was watching it last night and my roommate Jackie was watching it with me and she was just like, this movie has a lot of music, you know, like throughout it, which is not a typical thing. You know, usually the movies don't usually have so much music, you know, usually it's got just like, you know, a couple chords here and there or whatever, but like this one had like absolutely so too much, you know, music in it, and it drove me crazy because I was like, especially with the island, anytime they have the island, they have like the island songs, right? Then when they have like certain other scenes, they have like the same song again and again and again, and it's just, it was like, why? And then my favorite one was when the chick was running after him, chasing him, and it has like the Johnny B. Good music.
Yes. Bad. Oh my God.
How did it get away with that? Because that was literally Johnny B. Good. Like, I don't know.
And I think there's like if the person has been dead for like 70 years, you can, it becomes like a royalty fee or something like that. But I don't think that, I don't know how they got away with it. But me and my friends, shout out Contextual Memory, we were out there sitting there just listening. And at that point, we all had to like mute our microphones and just scream laugh because it was just, it was so much. And then like that one point, I don't remember where it was, they were playing some sort of classical music. I think it might have been when randomly out of nowhere on the island, the first love of his life shows up just to like guide him and then never shows up again. Like yeah, that one like really belly strange. Dancing scene. That, like, yeah. What was he doing?
That's what leads me to believe he's just been dead this whole time. Like, you know, when they do mention like, oh, well, you died like when you ate that whatever, and it's like, how do you know he ate whatever and died? Like, I don't understand.
Well, they said they went to his funeral, so like, unless they had like a empty casket funeral, like it didn't make any sense that like, you're right, he must have been you know, but it kind of made it like sort of mysterious as to like what he was, you know, because he talked about him being dead, like everybody being dead or whatever, but he chose like the life of an assassin. And then he also, didn't he talk about eating the thing himself? Like, because they said that he thought they died from that, but then he said he ate it, you know, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it was like some sort of shark.
Yeah, or something. Mahi-mahi, you know, something like that. Like something weird. Yeah. Fish or shark or something. And then he ate it. And then, you know, and then went on his assassinating, you know, or whatever. I feel like, okay, so maybe this is a movie that's like in the middle of a series of different movies, because like, if we got like a little bit more of his backstory, not saying they should make another movie with these guys, you know, kind of maybe do something different and better. But if they did do something else, maybe, you know, you could get more story with this guy, kind of understand what the hell's been going on and why is he like reliving these kind of, you know, or whatever, like going on these different missions and stuff. Like, it just, none of it made any sense, you know? And how easy do the people get along with each other? Like, he's fighting that one girl and then all of a sudden he's like best, you know, close friends with her, you know, or whatever. Like, he's talking to her like they're fine, you know? I mean, you guys were just literally at fisticuffs like 2 minutes ago.
I think that was possibly meant to be this whole, like, he's taking it easy, he's not afraid of death, he's going to ask out the person who tried to kill him. Sort of a, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie or the little YouTube films where they pit, like, one superhero against each other, another, like, superhero beatdown type stuff. And there's one where it's just one character is fighting the other character, and then he's just like, okay, one, stop hitting me, and two, what are you doing later? I feel like it was, like, that kind of energy, like, sort of the jokester, not taking life seriously thing.
Okay. I'll buy that, you know. I don't know. I thought it was so strange. Like, where, like, the whole movie didn't make any sense at all. So And I'm glad you guys agreed with me on that, because I was going to go, okay, if you guys actually liked this movie or whatever, something's off, you know. I guarantee you Paul's going to be having a field day when he has to watch this so that he can put up his little blog about it. He's going to love this, you know, flick and how terrible it is, you know, and he's going to listen to our thing going, okay, hopefully he agrees with us, you know, that this is just flat out terrible. But he loves that kind of stuff. This movie is a movie that people, you know, could watch with their friends and actually enjoy on a Saturday night. Like, I give you that. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I love how you guys did it through Zoom. That's cute. You know, that you got your friends together to watch this movie. And so you tortured your friends. We at Indie Film Cafe, you know, put our hats off to you on that. And Mackenzie, will you ever watch this again?
Maybe. I mean, it's so bad that it is like, almost like you want to like tell people about it and have them see how bad it is, you know? So it's like, I wouldn't call it like a whole waste, but I was just so confused and disappointed. Like, for a B movie, it's good in the fact that it's really bad. It's really bad, you know, but from like a filmmaking perspective, there was so much wrong with this film. And also, I just gotta say, I'm disappointed. I don't think they had a makeup artist at all on this film, like at all.
Let me see if it's.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they did. No, they had a visual. Oh. I got something to tell you guys.
Oh, no.
Visual effects done by the director.
That explains so much.
The director needs to learn that. I think that what I hope the director takes away from this movie is like, you need to have a good team behind you to make something good, and you can't just do it all yourself. Like, you can, but that's where you can see where the movie suffers, you know?
Consequently, building off of what you're saying, Mackenzie, I think you also need a really good team in order to make it bad on purpose, because it kind of unfortunately fails at being both a good movie and a terrible B-rated movie that's hilarious. It kind of reads as like a bad YouTube thing that got 3 views 10 years ago.
That's true. I'll give that. I'll say that too. I'll agree. So with that being said, it is time for our review section of it. We don't have Paul here to talk about the reviews, but I guess I'll fill in for him. Obviously, we have a 1 to 10 scale review. It's called a stinkometer. One is a, you know, is not very bad stink at all. It's pretty good. It's usually I don't know if we've ever had a one yet. But that would be like, I mean, that would be a really fantastic film. Then there's up to 10, which is a really terrible, stinky movie. Or you could do a 0.5, you know, 5.5 or 6.5 or whatever, if you feel like it wasn't, you know, if it was in between whatever numbers that you would like. So with that being said, I'm gonna flat out just say it. I gave this movie a 10. I mean, it is terrible. It is bad. It is just, I mean, you know, some of this location, I was like tempted to go, okay, maybe lower, because some of the sets and locations were beautiful and stuff. And maybe, you know, some acting wasn't terrible, but like, you know what? It's a 10. It's terrible. It's one of the worst films I've seen in a long time. And yeah. So who wants to go next? Either one of you. I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but I mean,
I'll go. I guess I will give this movie a 9, because it's pretty bad. The only reason I don't give it a 10 is because I actually, why don't I give it a 10? I'm trying to think of reasons why. No, I mean, because I guess it did at points like make me laugh, and it is something that I feel like I could, you know, tell people about and be like, look, you got to see this movie. Like, it's crazy. So I think for that alone, I don't want to give it a 10, because if it was a 10 for me, I'd be like, I don't ever want to see it again. I don't want to tell people about this. Like, it's a waste of time. Exactly. But I mean, but the, you know, giving it a 9, I'm like, it's worth seeing, you know, once, you know?
Okay. I get it. I think, see, I the thing is, me and Paul have the same sort of, you know, stinkometer ideas, you know, things. we picked 10 because we want to show people this movie, because we want to tell people about how bad it is. We love that. We love to get like a, we love to get 10 tens all across the board. However, we do get other people, other guests who like might rate it lower because of that same exact reason, you know, or whatever. So we get it, like, totally. It's just up to your discretion of what you'd want to say. And with that being said, Rimaku, what do you say?
You know, after thinking about this for a while, I think that I would give it a 9.5.
Whoa, and all right.
I know. And the reason why it's so high is, you know, for everything that we've talked about so far, just it's still a better love story than Twilight, but it's really, really bad. Like, just awful in so many ways. But it retains that 0.5 for the same reason I think that Mackenzie kept it, is because I, as bad as it is, and as bad as it even is at being a bad movie, I would still grab all of my friends, lock them in a room with some snacks and a bunch of alcohol and a therapist on standby, and we would watch this movie. I would do that. So it gains a 0.5 back for me.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. So 9, 9.5, and 10. I think that's kind of a great kind of trajectory right there, showing you where this movie is. And so if anybody ever looks at the stinkometer that we have on the Indie Film Cafe website, they'll see, like, you know, okay, there's a little bit of a transition here. But yeah, I totally agree. I think this was, you know, this was fun at times, but terrible, so terrible. Like, not anything, you know, you couldn't, there's so much too, you know, like, I feel like we didn't even scrape with this show's only an hour long. We could not go, you know, into like everything that happened in this movie and how ridiculous it was, because there's so much bad stuff. So hopefully people who listen to this podcast will go out and watch it, you know, or whatever, you know, if they haven't seen it yet. And if you have seen it already, God bless you, because, you know, you survived. You know, there should be t-shirts that say I survived Alien Prophecy. I would buy that, you know. it is terrible, but I want to see the director actually go and make something else. I want to see what a sophomore effort would look like. Hopefully it would be better. Hopefully he would learn that maybe doing everything yourself, like, some directors can do that, like Robert Rodriguez is great at that. Yeah, there's not like that many people that are really, really good at that, you know. All I can think of is Robert Rodriguez at the top of my head, but you know, and then there's people like Neil Breen, who's a terrible filmmaker who does everything himself as well. He stars in the movie too. That's the one thing this director did not do. He did not put himself in the star.
Are you sure he's not in there at all?
I don't think so. He's not listed in the credits on IMDb, but. Is he? No, he's not in it at all. I mean, he could have done a Hitchcock and, like, you know, been like on the boardwalk and walked by, but I don't know what the guy looks like. So I wouldn't know how to say that. So, but he was doing cinematography. So it kind of makes sense that he wasn't able to go in front of the camera as well. You know, I mean,
props to him for being ambitious and like doing all this. It does take a lot of work to do all of that by yourself, especially when you get into like the editing process and stuff, but he bit off more than he could chew, I think, on that one. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, with that being said, thank you ladies so much. We're going to say, Rimaku, what have you been up to lately and how can people contact you? I guess right now, social media is off. So.
Yeah. I am currently on sabbatical in Georgia. I will not be returning to the Virginia area for 4 or 5 more months. And the best way that I can be contacted right now for editing and anything really, conversation, talk to me, is at my email, which is callmerimaku@gmail.com.
So if this director wanted you to be the new editor of his next movie so he doesn't have to do it himself, would you be okay with that?
You know what? I'll give anything a shot. So yes, I would be okay with that.
Awesome. All right. And Mackenzie, if he needs a makeup person, I guess you're the person to ask if he ever actually puts a makeup person on his movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do makeup for his movie because I felt like they desperately needed a makeup artist on this one.
Would you, okay, if you were, if you were on the set of this movie and they said, you know, and they had you be the makeup girl, would you proudly put this in your on your IMDb, or would rather your name not be on it?
You know what? That's so funny you say that, because I was watching this and I was like, wow, I really thought that I've worked on some shitty movies, but like my movies look so much better than what this did. So I would be a little bit embarrassed, honestly.
All right. Well, anyway, what have you been up to and how can people reach you?
You know, I've been working on lots of stuff, short films, and I just did a feature not long ago. Yeah, just working and grinding. I'm moving soon to my own place, which is exciting. And, you know, the best place to find me would be on Instagram, and you can find me at mac.the.mua. So, yeah, that's the best place to find me.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, ladies, so much. So I was talking to Remarku earlier, and we had decided that we're probably going to put this as not only the podcast, but later I'll put it up on YouTube as well, so people can get the double dose and maybe check this. Hopefully they'll check this movie out and, you know, let us know what their thoughts are on this, because I seriously want people to see it. You know, like, I don't, you know, as much as I think this is a terrible movie, I think that's even more better, you know, for people, you know, like, I feel like the biggest problem is movies that are just too boring, you know, like that just drain. And this did not drain you at all. This just confused the hell out of you, you know? Right.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that.
I had a good time.
Good. I'm glad your friends had a good time too. Did they, or were they going, oh God, you're going to be talking about this.
Oh, we were, I think we had our Discord video up in the corner while we were all watching it on Tubi, and every time I glanced over, there was just laughing. So we had a great time, I think.
Now, did you guys put yourselves on like mute when you're doing that or whatever, or are you keeping, okay.
Yeah. Push to talk or mute. And then, occasionally like a commercial would come up, or we would just have to like during one of those loud music scenes, we'd just be like, okay, can we just make this make sense? Like what's happening here? And actually, my friend Will was the one who said that like the plot line is more, or the plot is more fragile than my will to live. And I was just like, I relate so hard to that. Like, it is easier to find Carmen Sandiego in the world than it is to find where this plot is going. Like, it was so much fun.
Exactly. I agree. It was just so fucking batshit crazy. I think I would love to see the original script. You know, maybe that made a little bit more sense. I don't know.
Yes.
Sometimes a script has a great idea and everything, but the execution is so terrible that it just, you know, destroys the whole thing. And maybe that's what happened. You know, give a props for that.
Yeah, because so. I can't imagine somebody being brought this script and being like, I would love to make this movie. Like, something happened.
Yeah. I would love to see the actor's like reaction when they first read the script, going, what? You know, like, I wonder if they had notes to the director and he was just like, oh yeah, yeah, that sort of makes sense, whatever, go, you know, go do it like that, you know, like, it's, I don't know. I would love to, once again, I would love for him to do a DVD with commentary. Yeah, that's what I want the most, is commentary. I don't want just the DVD, because, you know, I can just watch on Tubi, but I want the commentary, because I want to know if he, like, if there was things specifically in there that he forgot to mention in the movie that he could actually make sense for the movie. So, So thank you ladies. Thank you guys all for listening. Please join us at indiefilmcafe.reviews, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, and our YouTube channel, Indie Film Cafe, as well as our Patreon, where for $1, just $1, you can get, lots of stuff. We got lots of things on our Patreon. We're going to be doing like Patreon only podcasts. We're going to be releasing videos early and everything. So I mean, this year is going to be Patreon specific, you know, a lot of stuff. So check us out on there and let us know. We've already got 7 people, which, you know, not bad so far to start with. So thank you guys all for subscribing, checking this out, and let us know what you guys think. And tell us if there's a movie or anything that you guys want us to review, and we'll review it on the show at some point. So thank you guys for checking this out, And thank you, ladies, once again. This is awesome. I really appreciated you guys being on the show. So I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I had fun.
Okay. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.